0.
This land of ours is under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn still fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. The time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land. From sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll dance your fight for my liberty. Telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. No.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. This is the second hour of Your Defending Fathers with Chuck or Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network this Friday, February 6, 2026 edition. Absolutely appreciate you guys being part of the show today. Joining us on the line right now, as usual, in the second hour every Friday is Pastor Rusty Chatfield. He has a history lesson. And before we get into the topic that you texted me today, the longstanding tension between federal authority and states' authority. What is the overall basis in our U.S. Constitution that specifically lists out or defines, if you will, the rights of the states and the rights of the federal government, supremacy clause? What is it exactly that's the basis for this tension over the years?
Okay. I'm glad you asked that, because that's where I was going to start anyway. Okay, our Constitution is divided up into seven sections. The first section, legislative branch, makes the laws. In Article 1, Section 8 of our Constitution, paragraph 4, the Congress specifically has power to, quote, to establish a uniform rule of naturalization and uniform laws on the subject of bankruptcies throughout the United States. We have the power of naturalization of foreigners, which nowhere in the Constitution does it say specifically that you have a right to have borders. But it is so blatantly obvious, Section 8, Article 1, Section 8, last paragraph, 18, to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for the carrying and execution of the foregoing powers. Obviously, you have to have a border to determine the laws of the United States. We're not making the laws of Mexico or Canada. We make laws of the United States. You got to have a border to determine that. And you must, and there's another spot in the Constitution, Article 4, Section 4. Here's what the federal government guarantees to the states. This is the guarantee the federal government makes with the states. And it's limited, but this is important. The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government. Now, they left it up to the states to define what a republican form of government was. Now, many, many, many Supreme Court decisions have now taken away that right privilege of the states to determine who gets to vote, how old, and so on and so forth, which is another topic. But every state's guaranteed a Republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion. Invasion from who? From people outside of the United States. Every state has the right to expect the federal government to protect them from invasion from people outside of our country. When the president took an oath of office, he said that he would see that the laws were faithfully executed. That's his job. We have borders. It's his job to faithfully execute the laws. And lastly, you already mentioned that the Supremacy Clause, Article 6 of our Constitution, Paragraph 2, this Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land.
Wow, that's right there where we're going to talk. Supremacy Clause. Perfect spot for a break. Few words from our sponsors. He's Pastor Jeff Field. I'm Trucker Randy Bishop. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY or call 800-654-9659.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
$4,747. 4747. That's how much, on average, each Michigan family will save annually with Perry Johnson as our governor. 4747. Perry is Michigan's renowned quality expert and mathematician. He helped save the Detroit auto industry by improving efficiency and now can save our state. Perry says we start by eliminating waste and cutting 2 cents of every dollar of discretionary spending. No more state income tax. More money in your pockets. Perry wants you to keep your money and live your dreams. So your choice is one more career politician or Perry Johnson, who'll shake up the system and send you the savings. 4747, Perry Johnson.
I'm Perry Johnson, and I approve this message. Paid for by Perry Johnson for Governor.
Trucker Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. PatriotsRelief.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second segment of this history lesson discussion. And let's get into that supremacy clause. Read it again for us, because I got a couple of questions I'd like to ask you as you go through it.
Article 6 of our Constitution, Section 2. This Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land. And the judges in every state shall be bound thereby, anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. In other words, any state law that contradicts this United States federal Constitution is null, because, like it or not, the Supremacy Clause is in the Constitution. Generally speaking, most of the time in the last 50 years, 60 years, it has been more of the conservative right-wing, those that advocated for states' rights via the, you know, the 10th Amendment has argued, whoa, the federal government, you're overreaching. But now we're in a time where liberal governors are just ignoring this. It's worth discussing.
Well, on that point, and that's exactly the direction I was going, looking at what's going on in Minnesota, Minneapolis, with ICE agents and other states handling it differently. California, the same as Minnesota, Minneapolis. And this has really brought this to a head where people, I think, need to be informed of this information, especially, like you say, these liberal governors. You know, we've got a problem there with Tim Walz, of course, in Minnesota, and Gavin Newsom out in California. This Yahoo thinks he's going to be the next president in 28. They don't even understand the Supremacy Clause. They don't even understand that these are federal laws that we're dealing with, and therefore they totally have federal jurisdiction based on the Constitution, based on that Supremacy Clause.
Exactly. Now, this is a long, somewhat complicated discussion, a history lesson. Okay. Sometimes it's the clear law of the land. We have borders, but Congress has passed laws, and every president, including Biden, even including Obama, that said, look, we've got to control our borders. This president, President Trump, is the first one who's taken that seriously and is really trying to enforce the law, as he took a solemn oath. He took a solemn oath to enforce the laws. Now, sometimes it was Supreme Court orders that governors defied. I'll give you an example. In 2024, while Biden was still president, Governor Abbott of Texas defied a Supreme Court ruling that allowed the Border Patrol agents to remove razor wire erected by Texas at its border. Governor Abbott said he authorized the state police, the state troopers, to do that, to install the wire and block the agents, citing a state's right to self-defense. But the court says, Texas, you can't do that. But it wasn't a law that said that. It was the court that said that, which is slightly it's different. In this case, for instance, what if the Supreme Court, what if we had a liberal Supreme Court? This would be a different sense. What if we had a liberal Supreme Court and Minnesota took this to the court and it was expedited and went to the Supreme Court quickly, and the Supreme Court says, no, you cannot arrest illegal aliens? What? I mean, it's what the law already says. Well, the Supreme Court says the law means what we say it means. What? We can't read the law and enforce the law? Do you understand the difference? In this particular case, the law is really clear. It was passed by Congress. We have long controlled our borders. The Constitution itself says that the United States shall secure or guarantee to states that they'd be protected from invasion. And as if we had thousands, yay, millions of people invading our country. Really, you didn't even need a statute to tell the president to do what he's doing, although we have them, because it's right in the Constitution, but it has been affirmed and reaffirmed by statute. But sometimes it's the Supreme Court that orders something, and that's a slightly different situation, but which I won't get into unless you want me to talk about that.
Oh, no, absolutely. That's one of the main things I think needs to be people need to be educated on, because in order to get the full vigor of that constitutional, I mean, it, for people to even get this concept, they got to hear this stuff, Rusty.
Okay. All right. Let me walk you through 1798. The United States and France are on the verge of war. John Adams is president. He doesn't want to go to war, but he doesn't like what, I mean, it's almost like a quasi-war between us and France. The Federalists, who were in power, passed the Alien Sedition Acts, which the alien part of it made it much more difficult for people to come to the United States and become citizens. Okay. To me, I don't think that's unconstitutional, but the sedition part of it said that you can't print seditious things against the government. We're going to arrest you. We're going to throw you in jail. Now, that really flies right in the face of the First Amendment that was a part of our Constitution. So, in this case, the executive branch was ignoring the First Amendment, a part of our Constitution. Thomas Jefferson and James Madison, who were the leaders of the Democratic Republican Party, wrote the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions, which basically said that the alien sedition law is unconstitutional and you do not have they're null and void. Those laws have no force, and especially the Kentucky resolution written by Jefferson argued that the federal government had overstepped its constitutional authority and that had no power to do it. And you know what? Federal government, we're not going to do it. We're not going to obey this law. Now, this never came to a head. Other states didn't follow it, but it did kind of check the federal government from arresting people in Virginia and Kentucky, and throwing them in jail because of the sedition part of the Alien Sedition Act. Although some people were thrown in jail in states that had more of a federal lean toward them. And by the way, this is nothing unusual. Okay, Minnesota, where this is going on, it's a liberal state. Minneapolis, the central, very, very progressive liberal state, town, liberal mayor, and they're organizing resistance to a federal law, basically ignoring the Supremacy Clause. Basically, they're on the point of sedition. I mean, these ICE agents are attempting to do their jobs. That's their task. It's a constitutional principle laid out clearly in the Constitution, and it's in statute. Now, it doesn't mean that a mistake can't be made, and sometimes innocent people who are just protesting don't get shot. And that's possible. Mistakes can be made. That's possible. But this is the law. And so it usually happens in places where the majority of the people don't like it. Let me give you another example of this. In 1850, when California was trying to enter the Union, there was a series of compromises, one of which was called the Compromise of 1850. Okay, California, you enter as a free state. South didn't like that. But a part of the compromise was that they strengthened the fugitive slave law. In our Constitution, it says that, in essence, I'm paraphrasing, that slaves that run away to the North must be returned. That's in the Constitution. But it was never in statute. And it was never, didn't say in the Constitution by what authority, state or federal authority, would those runaway slaves be returned. But the Fugitive Slave Law strengthened that idea and put it in federal law and passed by Congress, signed by the executive, that federal agents would now go north, find blacks that were ostensibly just accused of being runaway slaves, bring them back to the South to their masters. And if they, if that black person, that slave, said he wasn't even a slave, it would be determined in the South whether they were a slave or not. There were a number of states. Michigan is one of them. New York is another that says, no way. We are not cooperating with these federal agents coming north and taking supposedly runaway slaves back to the South. It was a big issue. Big issue. In northern states, they, some of them passed legislation directly opposed to the directly opposed to the fugitive slave law, and tensions were really high. It's one of those things that helped propel us to a civil war. But so northern states says we're not going to obey this law. And this has been going on for a long time. In the 1830s, there was something called the nullification crisis. There was a high tariff, and South Carolina passed a legislation that says we're not going to obey this tariff, and we're not going to let federal officials come in and collect the tariff. We're not going to let them do it. The state legislature passed all these measures, and the federal authorities come in to collect the tariffs were met with force. You're not coming in here. These tariffs are, it was called the tariff of abomination, super high tariff. We're not going to enforce it. Now, Andrew Jackson, who was a Southerner from Tennessee, was sympathetic and thought the tariff was too high. Nevertheless, he pushed through what was called a force bill that says, no, you will pay it. Though a Southerner, though pro-slavery, he's also pro-union. And so it almost came to a blow, but the federal government lowered the tariff, had a compromise tariff, and eventually the whole thing was diffused, and military force was never really used. But it was approaching that in the early 1830s between the federal government and South Carolina. Now, eventually, we have the election of Abraham Lincoln in 1860, and beginning with South Carolina, then six other deep South states, they say, that's it. We're declaring our independence. We're defying the Constitution. And then we're going to form the Confederate States of America. Then four more states eventually follow. The federal government says, you can't do that. And this new Confederacy, although Lincoln never recognized the Confederacy, Lincoln maintained, hey, there's nothing in the Constitution that empowers a state to leave the Union. And there's nothing in the Constitution that allows me to recognize that. I took a solemn oath to enforce the laws. I'm going to collect the duties. I'm going to see that the mail is delivered. You can't do that. And they said, yes, we can. And Lincoln said, no, you can't. And that's the war. That's right. The war.
That's why there's
civil war.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, that was the political cause. You've heard me say many, many times, the moral cause was slavery, was the bottom line. But this is the political aspect of it. This has been going on for a long time in many different ways.
Yeah, absolutely. But basically, it's like you just went through a long list of historical precedent, case law, however you want to say it. Supremacy clause is there, and people need to learn about it, especially governors. I think that something is missing and actually causing a lot of problems within our country right now. Simply these